We're holding here in middle of the Rambam's in the Akdam LeMishnah, the third Perek, I guess we'd call it. And he had been explaining the main types of halachas that are within the framework of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And he spoke about the Pirushim that we have from Moshe, the Dinim that are called halachas Mesinai. They have no a foundation whatsoever in the written Torah. The third one is the halachas that you learn by some extrapolation, whether it's logical analogy or Yud Gimel Midah Shator Nedreshes. And now he's up to the fourth part, the Vachelek Revi. The fourth type is Hemadinim Asher Tiknum Hanevim V'Chachom Chol Dor V'Dor. It is the type of halachas that Chachomim and Nevim were metakne each dor. As a fence to the Torah. And it's really, a mitzvah's essay doraisa to do these things. It says in the Pasuk, Vayikro, Shmartem is Mishmarti, you shall make sure that the things I've warned, to keep the things that I asked to kept precious. So in other words, all Isurim, if you want to make sure that they're kept well, you need to fence it around. Obar Kabbalah, and we have a Maseres on it, the Gemara, Su Mishmeres Mishmarti, that there's a mitzvah on the Chachamim to create a fence around it. V'heim HaShikuchom HaGzeres. Now, these halachas over here, in terms of gzeros, in he's going to break it into two parts, this part and then the next one. In the Rambam, in halacha, it all goes under one category. All the rabbanans he puts on one category, but he says the shmatir smarti that we're enjoined to make this gedder and so on. Just to add a point, it's not what the Rambam says, but I think just an appropriate point. The reason, why is it, if the Torah said to keep Shabbos by not lighting a fire, why is it that since we need to make a takan, a gzeira, not to be metaltal, a lamp, a klishim nachta yisur, so why didn't the Torah do it? In other words, if it is so important to keep Shabbos by having muktzah in place, so why is it that the Torah didn't do it? So the answer to that would be that it's important to distinguish between those areas that are the essence of something and those areas that are simply a necessary precaution, which really, really goes, which really is a product of the weakness of the person involved. For instance, if you're learning, if you're studying electricity, you're studying physics, and you're asked the question, an electric wire that has a single rubber coating, can you feel the current? Can you get a shock? The answer to that would be no. But when you're making wires practically for people, being that people tend to fray wires and not pay attention, if you have only one coating of rubber on it, you're bound to get to the point where you'll shock yourself. But it's important to remember which is the essence of it. So the Torah, the halachas that were appropriate for the Torah to bring were those halachas that deal with the essence. Shabbos is not to light a fire. But the Torah said, you, as the people who are keeping the Torah, who have weaknesses, recognizable weaknesses, that don't allow you to cut to the edge, so it's incumbent on you to create the appropriate averis that will help you keep the mitzvah. In other words, it's most appropriate that the things, the elements of Shabbos that really originate with the divine, such as the explanation of what Shabbos is, that should come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The areas of Shabbos observance that deal with human necessity in terms of restrictions and precautions, we're the ones who create that. Okay. Now he says, "Ve'efsha shatipol gam be'ma machlokes." In these areas, it's also possible to have machlokes. How? Kishayira ha'echad leso kach ve'kach, mipnei kach ve'kach, v'lo yira ha'acha kein. So, when you have a valid machlokes as to whether or not it's an appropriate gezeira, and the Rambam in Halacha says it that way. So Bezin can be arguing, some people feel that this precaution is not necessary, some people feel that this precaution is too difficult. There are reasons in when you gozer a gezeira, and there could be a machlokes in it. And he says, Kish, v'habi b'talmud, you find many times v'ploni gozer shum kach v'kach, v'ploni lo gozer. Now, it's very not clear a lot of times in the Gemara whether it's a gzeira that was made at that time, or they're arguing about a gzeira that existed before. In other words, could a Bezdin in the Gemara's time have made a gzeira? There was no Sanhedrin, everybody was their own town. So how can you make a sweeping gzeira that affects many people? You know, there are certain times when the Gemara is bringing a machlokas about a gzeira. Clearly they're talking about an early gzeira, and a machlokas was it the scope of it? Was it niskabel by the Rov Tzibur? Other areas. That's fine. But then you have those areas where, like the Lashonis he brings, he's Goyza, he's not Goyza. It's hard to see sometimes how, maximum, a Tana could have been Goyza in his town. But that these are gzeiras that are in the Gemara to apply to everybody is difficult to understand if there's no Bezin there. V'ze gamke misibas ha-machleikas. Haloi Tirei says, and he gives an example. Basa oif b'cholav u'gzeir m'rabban lachman avera. Basa oif in cholav is not a doraisa, it's a rabbanadik gzeira, so that people shouldn't, they first they'll serve chicken and milk, and then somebody will put in meat and milk because it's just so it's used to it, and that's why they made that gzeira. V'inosu minatera l'psabei m'atera. V'osru chachomim psar of harchok m'davasa. U'mehem mishalol rog zezer. There were those who were not gozer. Kreb yesigle mata basay fechalav, by anshi iro kulam oichlo esin shpasim betalmud. So the Gemara in Shabbos says, you know, there was machlokas in his town they would eat basay fechalav. So it's hard to understand that they could make zeris in these places that would apply to us. In each town over there, wherever the Cholkim Rabbi Yisrael were there, I understand that they made the Gzeira and so on. But that this becomes a sweeping Gzeira, I didn't quite understand. Now he says, V'kasha tipol askom la Gzeira me la Gzeirois, gam kein. If let's say there is a consensus about these Gzeiras, he says, Ein lavala b'shum ponim. You're not allowed to transgress it. Because he's parsing Mr. Bisrael. So now, is he talking about when he says, because people are scum like Xerus Gamkane? Is he talking about in a specific town? Is he talking about across the board? What exactly does he want? The Rambam in Halach in Hilchos Mamre Perek Aleph says that the Gzeiris HaKadosh Min Hagos, if there was some sort of machlokes, whether it's Kedai or not, he says, you argue it out, and then you reach a conclusion, based on majority, and that's what you do. So he doesn't allow for different streams of doing something or not. He does bring later on in Perek Beis Halacha Beis, if they made a takana and a later bezin wanted to negate it, whether they can do it or not. but this idea of there being two concurrent gezeiros doesn't quite say, hard to understand. I don't have a problem that because Bizman Hazeh we don't have a Sanhedrin, we can't do it. But then really Bizman Hazeh we don't have the concept of a Takanas Chachamim, of a Gzeira. We have a particular city. So even if all the cities in the world were mekabel a certain Gzeira on them, but it's limited to that locality. Let's give an example. Rabbeinu Gershom's Cherem on taking many wives, etc. They only applied in Ashkenaz. That's where the Dinim were mekabel it. It's not universal, it can't be universal. I don't know exactly. It's a bit of a difficult point. And then he says, once it's his past, Mr. Bishol, ain't if Shoros Lacho is a Gzeira, no one can argue, Vafil Nevi'im la Yuchel Sasra, and even the Nevi'im can't be Sizerit. Varma Tamal, Kimur Sash El Yol, La Yuchel Lista, Echet Shmanj Dvarash Gazem Shami Hillel. So once the Issa goes to Hosol, no one can be Vat, not even Navi. I find it a little astounding. He says over here, not even Navi could be Mevatlet. And the riot that brings us El Yo, if he would come along and say it, we wouldn't listen to him. He says something very similar before also. He says, Chelek Avi, the beginning of this paragraph, that the Nevi'im were metakin every dar. Now, it is true that there are few of places that the Chachamim call Takanas Nevi'im, Arava, and so on. But that begs the question, the Rambam himself had just spent a very long section explaining that Nevi'im do not have any special role in Torah Shebaal Peh. In Torah Shebaal Peh, there's no such thing as a Navi. A Navi may be a wise man, and he'd be making, and he would be one of the Chachamim also. I mean, it stands to reason that Nevi'im were Tamei Chachamim, and therefore they were able to, a lot of times were in a Bezdin. When it says all sorts of Nevi'im or Beis Dino, Yo Beis Dino, it means like the Rambam says, he was wearing the hat of a Dayan, not the hat of a Navi. So why does the word Navi come in here twice? I don't know. It's something that he says, Afil Nevi'im L'Chol Sosra. We just got through this longest of pieces explaining how a Navi has zero ability to do anything. It's also interesting that he says it only in the realm of Isurim, as opposed to the realm of Takanas Chacham, as opposed to the realm of arguing on the Midrash Shatayin Drashas Behen. The only place that he finds Nevi'im to be significant has to do with Harkakis and Averis. I don't know. Don't have an answer for that. But it's a point that's important to note. Now he says, let's go through the sentence that he explains. Kasha tipo laskom lagzer me lagzer's gamkein en lava labishum panim. When there's an agreement on exeris, you can't be over on it. Meaning once a bezin decided, you can't. Once the rave decided, you can't contravene it. Is there a time when you can? I mean, the Rambam says in Mamrim, he says v'chein gzeres and takanis. If there's a machlokes, they argue it out, they discuss it back and forth, and they ain't go b'serov. So fine. So that's not different than anything else. I'm not sure what he wants. The Rambam in Perik Beis Halacha Beis in Mamrim says that if Bez made Gzeiro Takana, Binhigu Minu Poshet Kodav Yisrael. Okay, so now he has the second part. It says that. So as soon as. Yeah, sorry? You wanted something? Okay, as soon as somebody was. As soon as a Bezin decided, you can't go against any Takana. Now he says, and once its Issa became famous, you can't argue on it, and even the VM can't say it. Like it says on top. So the only feature is Surin Pashat Bechal Yisrael. So it says you can't argue with it because Isurin was Pashat Bechal Yisrael. Hard to know what's this special category. There are halachis that Bezdin can be mevatel divri Bezdin koidmin if the godlemen are bechachma b'minyan. And the Rambam says clearly in Mamrim Perek Beis Halacha Gimel that if there's an argument to Bezdin in any other area, it's possible that the next Bezdin should be able to come and override it. If they're godlemen and chachma minyan, if they're smarter and larger, avod dvorim shero bezn ligzer lesoy son lasos siag im poshat isurun bechol Yisrael ein bezna godl ech ache yochalakon latirin afilav godlemen shayin. If let's say it was nispashat bechol Yisrael, then you can't ever be mevatlet. It's a little bit difficult to understand what kind of halacha is this. What does Pashat Isurin B'chol Yisrael what does Isurin B'chol Yisrael have to do in being mevatel, not mevatel? If it's a takana that you can be mevatel, if a bezdin could be mevatel gozo mechav minyan, let him go ahead and be mevatel it. What does it being nispashit b'chol Yisrael, nispashim Yisur b'Yisrael, why can't you have charat on it? Doesn't say here why. I'm very hard pressed to find a real mucker and svara for it. What's the logic behind it? It's possible, again, the Ram doesn't say it, but it's possible that there's another element over here that it becomes like a neder. It says there's a Gemara in Psachim, Makom Shenagu, which deals with, if there's certain hanhagas of Issa, can you go back or not? Over there, we're not Davach to Magzeris, we're talking about generally. And one of the things that it's mashma in the Gemara is that once you accept a certain group of practices and so on, it becomes binding like a neder. It's sort of, in a sense, everyone accepted on themselves to keep this. So maybe that's his intent over here, that if it's nispashet b'chol Yisrael, it forget about it being a takanas chachamim, there's the element of it being a... what's the right word for it? It's being a Kabbalah, because it's Mekabla themselves. So maybe that's the pshat why there would be a problem if it's Nispas Misur B'Yisrael. And then it makes it very clear, it's because Pasha Yisur. That's the fourth chelek. V'chelek ha-chamishi heim ha-dinim asher niskenu al derech ha-izbeinus v'avoas ha-to'elos b'nyon v'noigim b'ibni Adam. So the Rambam, in Pirshei Mishnayos at least, it distinguishes very clearly between two types of takanas chachamim. when it is to prevent an iser, so the nature of it is really sort of sheval taisedik, it's preventing an iser. So there we have one set of gedarim, and then you have when you're creating some sort of hanhaga teiva, not just framework, but you're creating some sort of new halacha, that has another framework. For us, alavale mishum ponim hol v'skim aleim u'uma, u'kvar hize shlomo mavor aleim, v'oma poriz gedish chene nochash. So it says on all these takanis, even though the takanis are minhagas chachamim, but Shlomo warned and said, poriz gedish chene nochash. V'elo atakanis hen rabbis. So it's also interesting, because the word poriz geder usually, just by the nature of the wording, poriz gedish chene nochash means someone who breaks a fence is going to be bitten by a snake. A snake is a fence is that which keeps out the undesirable elements. A snake is kind of undesirable. When I breach the fence in a way that the snake could break through, I suffer the first injury. So this would definitely apply more readily to fences for Yisurim. The Rambam brings it as a description of breaking takanis. One could answer that we're talking about these takanis are things that have an ultimate good in mind, and we're talking about that. The elos takanis in Rabbis Moed. These takanis have there's a wide range of takanis. Niskaras b'talmud of Mishnah. Mehen b'inyan ha'isa v'heta. Someone nagia isa v'heta. Mehen b'inyan ha'mominis. Some of them on nagia money. In Yanim, also takanis. Mehem takanis me oisen shetikun neviim. Some have takanis neviim. Kemoi takanis Moshe v'Yeshua v'Ezra. Kemoi she'omru Moshe tikun Yisrael shiud shalom v'doshon chaspes pesach. V'omru Moshe tikun hazon v'shasher aman. V'omru takanis Yeshua v'Ezra are in Rabbis, who has many takanis. Omehen takanis yuchas yichidim acham. Ka'omru hiskin hill prudzbol. He's going to be Lazakin, he's going to be Rechazakai, the Hirbe Betalmud, he's going to pliny, he's going to pliny, Umehen Takanis Yuchasis La Klal, Ka'omrum Be Ushe Iskinu, those were all Takanis for the benefit of the Klal, Oy Omrum Tikton Chachomim, Oy Takanis Chachomim, Vargese. So he limps together in this category of Takanis, all Takanis. So the Mashal, in Dinim Mominis, where Chazal were Mesakin, Chweiz Maimish Lashtin. So according to him, it goes under this category. All of these takanas over here that we're talking about have different points, different underpinnings of validity. For instance, in Dini Mamanis, those takanas are valid because Hefka Bezdin Hefka. Bezdin can use eminent domain to override private ownership, take away private property, and for the public good. They can find. It's a very different type of set of halachas than Issa V'Heta. The Rambam just lumps it all together. For instance, let me give another example. The Gemara in Baba Basra says that any type of self-contained unit, for instance, a courtyard. In the old days, people had courtyard. They had houses around a courtyard, and there were common needs. One could force the other. A guild of craftsmen could create takanis for the public good and force each other to comply with it. So why that goes together with things that are not in the mominous and why it fits in one category, I'm not quite sure. Takanis Yeshuvez is the rabbi, and he says principal and so on. Nimtza. So at any rate, so these are five categories. kol hadinim es kam ben skam misha necha ilach misha halakim. So in halacha he brings three categories. Here he brings five categories. Mehem prushim mekubal mimoyisha sheisha merav iksav. Pirushim of things that have a marker in the written Torah. Oyshev shalom nevehekish. Or it's possible to derive it thereof. Mehem alach lemoyisha misinai. Which means, according to him, it has no shaykhis. Or mehem, it stands on its own. There's no pasuk that give me mas mechara. Umehem ashutze behekish. Then you have a third category, things that I learn by extrapolating. Uboy tipla machloikis. And that's where you have your first case of machloikis. Umehem gzeiros em takonas. So here he insists on listing gzeiros and takonas very differently. In other places, it sort of lumps it together. Now he comes along and adds, I guess he's going back to answer a different question. V'omnom sibas kaimoy ha-machlekes en shvaris. V'eshe shvaris. B'dvar ha-mashofen ha-machlekes. Harei mashen esape. So the Rambam raises a question. Since we say that you go baserov, so the vast majority of machlokes should have had a resolution someplace. Even within the framework of the Mishnah, you'll have a Das Yachid and a Das Rabim. You'll have the Chachamim and you have Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Meir. Why? You know, since the Yachid and Rabim, let's just have what the Rabim says, and that's that. So he says, Vizel, Shehu Ilukiyim Amorim Uskamim, She'im Achlokes Behem. Let's say Rabbi HaKadosh would have just kept the things that are unanimous, everyone agrees on. That would have been the Mishnah. So somebody would come along and somebody would say, I have this and this pshat. And then we would come along and say, you know, I think there's a different pshat to be learned here, a whole different pshat. And it would start creating doubts that maybe they didn't get it right. So if somebody would come along and say something the opposite of Mishnah, we'd say he can't argue. So now when someone comes along and he argues with the Mishnah on a logical basis that makes sense, we tell them, no, 1 minute. Been there, done that. Somebody in the Mishnah raised that point, and we argued that and went through it. In other words, what listing the Das of the Yochid does is it lets us know that the conclusion was reached while considering that opinion. In other words, the conclusion is that the mission reached is not because it's not because there is no other opinion, but there's room to ask to say differently, and we overrode that. So he says, if it wouldn't be that way, because I sheet as you do as that says. So if a guy comes along and says, no, it's not like that, we say, yes, I'll tell you exactly why you're making that mistake. That mistake is being made because you're quoting Reb Meir and not the Chachamim. You're right that you heard something. It's what so and so said. Your Rebbe either didn't know or you forgot that Rabbi Cholkolov has a machlokas in it. Or Ploni Cholkolov. So he says the reason to keep the machlokas intact is that because it's Torah Shabbat Peh, and people sometimes get confused. This way, we know exactly. We keep track of all the svaras that were pushed away, the svaras that we disproved, and we can always refer to it and say, oh, this is what it was. The Rambam's point over here actually is a Mishnah. It's two Mishnayos in Idyas. A little bit, the Mishnayos are a little bit cryptic, not easy to understand. They go like this. It's in the first parak in Idyas. Idyas is a fascinating Mesechta. It's about when they opened up the Beis Medrash, and when Gamliel left the Beis Medrash, and they took in everybody brought in different shmuas that he heard and different things, the halachas that he learned, and so on, and they passed it. So the Gemara says, "V'lama mas." It's a Mishnah, so it's not a Gemara. It's a Mishnah in Perek Aleph Idyas Halacha Hey. "V'lama maskirin divay yochid bein amerubin hoil bein halacha like divay amerubin." So now we'll ask ourselves a question. Since Yochid Rabban Halacha Kerabim, you always go to majority opinion. So why did Rabbein HaKadosh mention the words of a Yochid Ben Reuben, if the Halacha is like Reuben? So the Mishnah says, Shem Yira B'Yodai, basically, as Divrei Yochid V'Yismach Alav, if Bezin feels that this Yochid is appropriate to rely on, She'ein Bezin Yochid Levat Liv Bezin Chaver Ad She'Gol Men Chachma Minyan. So as long as they have Chachma Minyan, it's good enough. So the Mishnah seems to imply that you can't just argue on a previous era of Talmud, of Torah. So an Amora can't come along and say not like Katana. But if he finds a Braisa that brings another Shita, then he could possibly. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda comes along and he argues and he says, "Im kein, lama maskir lechem Reuben." I still don't understand. You didn't answer the question as to why you would list a yachid over when he's drowned out by the rabbi. He says, "Shem yoyma adam kachani mikubul, yoyma loy kedivrei ishplei shemata." What it does is it tells me if somebody comes along and he says, "Well, I heard such and such is the case," so now we say, "Well, it's true that you heard such and such is the case, but that's because you heard the wrong Madi Amma. You heard an argument, and it was Divrei Yochid Rabbi Yehuda. Now that I know the different opinions that were voiced, I can tell you for sure where your mistake comes from." Now he says, besides that, kimu shtivrei yachid v'rabim, they kept alive yachid v'rabim l'fisha pa'om ti halacha ki yachid. Because this must be there's a second reason, I guess, why we have divrei yachid v'rabim. Because sometimes the halacha is like the yachid. In those cases where the yachid is absolutely clear, his svara is absolutely crystal clear, we pass like the yachid against the rabbi. Now, let's try to figure out this halacha. If let's say, what is this halacha relevant? If let's say there was a machlokas in a Bezdin, and Bezdin stood up and voted, and Yochid Rabban Halacha was like Rabbim, I can't come along afterwards and reopen the case and say, no, the halacha is like the Yochid because he's saying some svar that's so good. That wouldn't work. So I guess it's talking about Mishnayos, which is not really an Amida Bedin. The Mishnayos is not a Bezdin sitting at it in Torah and so on. The Mishnayos is something which Rabbeinu HaKadosh recorded all the different shitas, arguments, and so on. We use Yochid V'Rab Malachik Rabim as a rule of thumb. It does not actually carry the same type of obligation as a Bezdin. When a Bezdin sits in Din, and you have a 13 to 10 majority, or 12 to 11 majority in a Bezdin of Gimel and so on, you don't have the option of deciding, well, I really think that the Yochid is much better. Once Bezdin decides the halacha, you erase it. It's just after, when there is no Bezdin, and now I have different shitas in front of me, and I have an obligation to paskin. So Yochid V'Rab Malachi Rabim is true when there's a suffix, when I don't have a clear sense of what halacha is. But if I see clearly, right, so l'mashal, let's take some very contemporary. Let's say I'm a posuk of note, where I can paskin with my own das, really. And I take out, I'm exploring a shaila, and I see tons of shitas one way, and one shita going the other way. But that shita really, really makes a lot of sense. And I feel he's right. I can override all the other ones based on that one shita. So, Yochid V'Rab Malachi Rabim in contemporary psak is a guideline, but it's not an absolute. It's not like a bezin who sits where you can't actually do anything if there's Yochid V'Rabim, and there's also nobody who can do that. The bezin themselves have to listen like the rov. But rather, we're talking about a case outside of bezin, informally, where you have many shitas one way and a shita another way, you go bust it out, shita, and so on. So he says the reason why we keep Divrei Yochid V'Rabim is because sometimes the halacha is like the Yochid. That you go by say Yochid if the point he makes is very strong. So this is relevant from a Mishnah to a Gemara type of carryover. Finally, the Omno Kaimo Shitas Isha Kachas Rasimesha Shita. How come it says v'chazu beishamai v'hoirik de beishilol, that the beishamai had charata from a certain position they held, and they passed, and they themselves went back to beishilol. So that's clear that you know they've there's no other shita. So why would Rabbein HaKadosh have that? So he says, and this is also what he says in the Pirush HaMishnah, it's over there in Idyas. He says, so why would we have that? So he says, "Hareza lametcho bakoshas haemes ubchiras hatzedek." It's to teach you how far-ranging was the seeking of truth and the right and the just by Chazal. The fisheil anashim agdoilim hamuulin. Because these Tanoim, who are big people, if they saw anyone arguing with them and they recognized the truth that the other person is right, they were moda. Kol shekem kal v'chayim l'shar bnei adam. It's a lesson to teach us how Gdoli Yisrael, the integrity of Gdoli Yisrael and the intellectual honesty, that in case you have a Mishnah, even if you had a Shita, if you heard the other person and felt he was right, you had to, they saw fit to be Maida, despite the fact that these people were sort of bitter antagonists in Halacha. It had nothing to do with it. That a person should constantly be looking to follow righteousness. In other words, a person needs to keep constantly looking for what's emes. Even though you can dray your way out of arguments, Im teida kidivei zulascha, asher tanoscha lehem niris tzedekes lachol sha'asoi, If you see that the other person, if you see you're winning the argument because the other person is simply a weaker debater, or because you're quick and you couldn't confuse the other person. I think it was Truman who said, if you can't best your opponent in an argument, confuse him. Haim ha'emes chazor ledvarav v'rivnin toish. Leave alone, and you don't just say, well, this guy is, he may be right, but he doesn't know it, so I won the argument. The chiyuv is to pursue truth and so on. I just finished with a story of Rav Shach. He told me once, I went to speak to him about a certain, some enterprise, some public enterprise that I was involved in, that they would want, that Rav Shach wanted somebody very chashuv to join. This person made a condition that he doesn't mind listening to the board, you know, we were part of a board for this, but he wants to make all decisions himself. Rav Shach was very upset, and he said, I will never lend my reputation to creating an institution where one person has absolute say. He says, every single person makes mistakes, myself included, he said about himself. He said, I've made many mistakes, and many times I said a shir, and a bacher asked a question that was really good, and I just walked off the stage, and I said I was wrong. And then he explained himself. He said, do you think that it was a display of modesty on my part to do that? He said, imagine the scene. I'm saying a shir. Someone asks a question, and he knows I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong, and he knows that I also know I'm wrong. He said, so I could dray out of it, and I could have weaseled my way out of it. But he said, but imagine me weaseling my way out of it when he knows I'm wrong and he knows that I know I'm wrong. Would that have been honor or shame? He says, I stepped off the bima to salvage my honor. It wasn't a display of modesty. It was, this is the covet of Adam. It was a fascinating story. But Al-Kopanim, the Rambam says that the reason the Mishnayos included these little vignettes about they argued, but then Beis Shammai, so Beis Hillel will be right, Beis Shammai and Hillel were bitter antagonists in almost every part of Torah. But the one thing was they both sought truth to the ultimate. And therefore, if they found the truth to be the other person, no matter what, they simply said, you're right. Okay, do we have some questions? Yes.